If I gave you $10,000, the same amount of money as you would, the same amount of dollars as you have thoughts for the day, and I said, you can have that amount of money if you spend that money before the day's out, you would probably be able to spend it, right? Amen. But I bet you would account for every dollar, wouldn't you? You wouldn't just go frivolously spend that money, would you? You'd probably try to spend it as wisely as possible, right? So why wouldn't we do the same thing with the number of thoughts that we have for a day? Proverbs 4:23 says, "We are commanded to keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it come all the issues of life." In other words, what goes in comes out. In computer lingo, that's called GIGO, garbage in, garbage out.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. This morning, Brother Mark preached out of the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, in his sermon titled, "Who Am I?" And now, Brother Mark.
I've been working on that for a while, and I don't know that I was quite ready, but this was the right Sunday to do it because the title of the message is, "Who Am I?" And we're going to look in Philippians 4, verse 8. Let's pray. Father God, I pray this morning that you'd bless your word to our heart. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and, Lord, just speak words through me that only you want us to hear. That you would take all of me away and that all we would hear would be from you. And we'll just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Police examine similarities and slayings on trail system. 4 people been killed since August. Bumpy times at the White House. Trump linked to firing in Russia. New message tries to fight teen suicide. UBU. UMKC will have to cut 30 jobs to counter drop in state support. Cheating suspicions raised about Fiat Chrysler. VW has more cars in cheating scandal. Flood of Trump nudes could damage the presidency. Trump Russia probe includes cover up, person of interest. Delay in new rules for Kansas amusement parks, unacceptable. Healthcare, an issue. Get big money out of Missouri politics. I don't know about you, but every day we're bombarded with the news, and the news is negative. We look on our cell phones, we get news. On Facebook, we see news flashes. In the newspaper, we get news. On the radio and on TV, we see the news, and it's negative, negative, negative. But Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." The Bible tells us in Matthew 12:35, A good man out of the good treasures of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. Did you know that the average person has 10,000 thoughts a day? That's the average. I know some of y'all are only like at a fourth of that level, but the rest of us, we have about 10,000 thoughts a day. That's over 3.5 million thoughts a year. Of course, you never thought about all the thoughts that you think about, have you? If I gave you $10,000, the same amount of money as you would, the same amount of dollars as you have thoughts for the day, and I said, you can have that amount of money if you spend that money before the day's out, you would probably be able to spend it, right? Amen. But I bet you would account for every dollar, wouldn't you? You wouldn't just go frivolously spend that money, would you? You'd probably try to spend it as wisely as possible, right? So why wouldn't we do the same thing with the number of thoughts that we have for a day? Proverbs 4:23 says, "We are commanded to keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it come all the issues of life." In other words, what goes in comes out. In computer lingo, that's called GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. Mark Twain wrote this. He says, "What wee little part of a person's life are his acts and his words. His real life is led in his head and is known to none but himself. All day long, the middle of his brain is grinding, and his thoughts and not those of other things are his history." Jonathan Edwards put it this way. He said, "The ideals and images in men's minds are the invisible powers that govern them." In Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." Ouch. That kind of steps on my toes. I don't know about you, but you know, you're what you think, even though people don't know what you're thinking, right? Some of us we can read, but others, you can't read them at all. So, you know, you live with someone long enough, you kind of get an idea of what they might be thinking, but we're not always correct in knowing that. But then you get to know people, you think you know what they're thinking, but what you think actually governs your actions, who you are. Sin begins in our thoughts, which the Bible calls our heart. And Jesus said in Mark 7:20-23, "That which proceeds out of man, that which defiles man from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile man." Well, that's a lot of things, isn't it? But if you continue to think about negative things in your mind, you are going to be a negative person. And you have to take control of your thoughts. You have to be able to take control of your thoughts and direct them to the things that Philippians 4:8 says about the way we should think. We need to think on the things that God wants us to think on. No one commits outward sins without first committing the sin inwardly. In fact, James says it this way. He says, "We're enticed in our thoughts, in our heart. We're enticed. And then lust conceives itself, and then our actions bring forth the sin." So where did it start? It didn't just come upon us and we accidentally fell into sin, did it? No, it started in our thought pattern. We thought about it first, and then we moved on, and the action conceived it, and then it was sin. And so you can interrupt that before it ever gets to the action. You can stop it before it ever becomes sin if you can control your thoughts. So if we want to grow in godliness, we must win the battle over our thought life. So how does God want us to think? Well, Philippians 4:8 tells us the things we are to think on. And thinking is this: to have the mind occupied on a subject, to have ideals, to revolve ideals in your mind, to imagine, to suppose, to fantasize, to muse, to meditate, to reflect, to collect, to call to mind, to consider, or deliberate upon. Thinking is what most of you are doing right now, and you're thinking, I hope you don't preach too long because I'm getting hungry. I need to be careful thinking that you are thinking, because I may think that you're thinking something that other than what you're really thinking. Amen? Paul exhorts believers to develop a Christian thought life. He's not teaching us the power of positive thinking like Norman Vincent Peale talked about in his book. And that paradigm of positive thinking has spread to the prosperity gospel, the name it, claim it gospel. And that's not what the Bible's telling us here, and that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that the Christian life should be focused on God's Word. The Word gives us a litmus test, if you will, here in Philippians 4:8. And he says, all of your thoughts, run them through this test of six principles. And if they pass the test, then they're good to think on. If they don't pass the test, then quit thinking on them. Put them out of your mind. And the first one is, whatsoever things are true. So ask yourself, is what I'm thinking true? Now, not all truth is good. You say, well, I thought truth is good, but not all truth is good. It might be true, and it might be a fact that a certain believer is living in sin, but it would not be good to keep this in your mind and keep meditating upon this, because if you do, then what you think is what you will actually say or act upon, and if you say or act upon this, will that not hurt the person even more if you let this go and continue to talk about it? So, some things may be true, but that don't mean we should dwell on them. Paul in Ephesians 5:12 speaks of certain things that are so evil that he quote, it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. So don't dwell there. Don't focus on the evil around you. The principle of concentrating on things are admirable and lovely, puts the rest of the foolish notion that we should expose our children to sin so they will know what sin is like. First of all, our children see enough sin around them that we don't have to expose it to them. Amen? Secondly, exposing young people to sin runs the risk that they may be attracted to it. Sin is so attractive that we would do well to stay as far away from sin as possible. Don't go there. Just stay away. You know what they say about sin? Don't. Pretty simple, huh? So you don't have to lift the top off the septic tank to know it stinks, amen? It's there. And think of it this way. Your house has a living room and a bathroom. And when company come over, which one do you display? You don't take them all into the bathroom, do you? Do you? Some thoughts might be true, but wisdom said they're better left unsaid and even put on reserve in your mind. It's okay to know that you don't want to continue to think about them things. If you dwell there on these thoughts, your mind is going to be critical of this individual and others to the point that it could keep them from repentance or even maybe keep them from salvation. These thoughts will not pass the good report test coming later either. God himself is a litmus test of all truth, for God is truth. He's never changing. His plumb line and his standard are always the same. He's holy, he's righteous, he's without sin, he's faithful. There is no shadow of turning in his countenance. The opposite of truth is a lie, and Satan is the father of all lies. And Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What he's saying when he states that he is the truth is that Jesus is who he said he was. The truth is that Jesus is the Son of God. The truth is that Jesus is God who came to earth in a human form. The truth is that Jesus is the one who died for the sins of all mankind. The truth is that Jesus is alive and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. The truth is that Jesus is the only one and the only way that one can go to heaven. The truth is that Jesus is life eternal. The best way to grow more and more like Jesus is to put truth in your heart and meditate upon it. Ruminate it like a cow does. Bring it up. Regurgitate it. Think on it. Think on the things that are true. Think on God's word. Jesus said, I have trouble in this world, and so will you. And the word says, take my word and hide it in your heart that you may not sin against me. The word is truth. Think on the Bible. You can't think on the Bible if you're not reading the Bible. Amen? You need to be reading it. You need to be taking it in. What you know, garbage in, garbage out? Don't take the garbage in. Don't read. Instead of reading the news and the bad stuff, read the Word. Take it in. Read it. Put it in your heart that you may not sin against Him. If you do not come to church, you'll not hear the Bible preached. You're not going to hear that on TV unless you go to the gospel channels, amen. But most of the time the TV's on, I just about bet it's not on the gospel channel. Might be on the Royals, though. Except when they was playing the Yankees, then shut it off. But anyway, secondly, whatsoever things are honorable. Is what I am thinking honorable? Honorable is the meaning of honorable is upright, blameless, dignity, noble. It's respectful, credible, it's honesty, it's integrity. So how to be honorable from WikiHow? Is that it? WikiLeaks, WikiHow? Here's WikiHow. To be honorable is to be kind and genuine and empathetic without expecting a reward for your behavior. It's a rare combination of virtues. This is the worldly view of honorable. Do you want to be the type of person who stands up for your beliefs instead of cowering? The type of person who comes alongside of others when they need you? The type of person that's known for being an upstanding and a person of integrity? And by the way, integrity's doing what's right when no one else is looking. It's a good definition for integrity. If the thoughts that are listed here, truth and honor and just and pure and lovely and good report occupy your thoughts, then you have integrity. If you're thinking on them things, them kind of things in your mind when no one else is around, then you're going to be a person of integrity. Start doing the little things to be honorable, like showing up when you say you're going to be there, or asking others if they need a hand and then helping them. Filling your idle time with the things of God and loving others instead of judging them. Being a mentor and a doer of the Word. When you allow the Word of God to consume your thoughts, your life will reflect an honorable lifestyle. Looking at the worldly definition of how to be honorable, no one could be actually fit that definition without Jesus. There's no way. But with Jesus Christ in our life, and through God, all things are possible. And you and I can live an honorable life with Jesus in our heart. That's why God said, I'll no longer write my word on tablets of stone, but I will write it on the tablets of their heart. When he put his word inside of you as the Holy Spirit convicts you and brings you to the place where you can live an honorable life. Only when you have God's word in your heart can you live an honorable life. Thirdly, whatsoever things are just. Just means right. Whatsoever things are right. It means in conformity to God's standards, the plumb line, the word of God. Not, is it right in my eyes, or is it right in the eyes of my peers? Because in this day and age in which we live, it could be totally contradictory to God's word and be right in society. If your thoughts were broadcast for the whole world to hear, would you be ashamed or embarrassed? If others knew what you were thinking, what would they think of you? Are my thoughts right with God's word? The right conduct? The right actions? Think on these things. Fourthly, whatsoever things are pure. Whatever is pure. The word means undefiled or holy, clean. It touches the whole area of moral purity. Is my thought life clean? We used to say, get your mind out of the gutter. And if you live in the gutter, don't be surprised if your mind isn't covered with slime and full of leaves and debris and growing trees. We all have gutters like that, huh? Think on pure things. We put way too much garbage in our hearts today, amen? Too much television, too much violence, too much hate and evil. And we're bombarded with it. It's all around us. You rarely hear good news. Just about all the news you hear is bad news. All you have to do is watch the news. America feeds on bad news. They love it. When was the last time you heard good news on the news? It's just a rare thing. And once in a while, they might put a little section in there where they just briefly touch on something that was fit in one of these categories. But most of the time, the news is full of bad stuff. Bad things that happen to people. Bad things that's going on in our world. It's full of it. And we continue to put that in our minds. A pure mind is what God wants. Think on pure things. Fifthly, whatsoever things are lovely. The word is used here in the New Testament, and it literally means love towards. Whatsoever things are love towards. One person translates it as those things that grace attracts. Do your thoughts automatically attach themselves to what is beautiful and lovely? A thought may be true and even right, but it still may not be a lovely thought. Here's a simple rule. If it's not lovely, if it doesn't make you lovely, then don't say it. Don't think it, don't do it, don't dwell on it, and don't repeat it. Think on lovely things. The sixth thing. Whatsoever things are of good report. Whatever is admirable. That is it worthy of study and contemplation? This question asks us to focus on the things that are positive and not negative, constructive and not destructive, things that build up, not things that tear down. This means editing your words so that you simply delete the non-admirable things from your vocabulary. We have way too much negativity in the world and way too much negativity in the church today. Think on things of good report. Look for good in people. Look for good in your community. Look for good in the world and dwell on them things. The practice of looking for good cancels out negativity with a good report. In conclusion, as Lori comes and Phyllis comes, do the things that I think about pass the test. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honorable. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. And if that's not enough, the Apostle Paul gives us two more at the end. If it is excellent or praiseworthy. Excellent or praiseworthy. Excellent refers to the virtue, and praiseworthy means those things that God would approve of. So here you have two final questions that you can ask as you're thinking on things. If they are worth thinking, then they're worth saying, because they would give God praise and God would approve of what you're thinking and are saying. Here's a way to remember this verse. Thoughts have just pure lovely responses. Thoughts have just pure lovely responses. Thoughts have just pure lovely responses. And you can use that to remember the things that you're supposed to think about. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is." And in Proverbs 4:23, we are commanded to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of our heart come all the issues of life. Proverbs 23:19 says, "Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way." 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." Guide your heart, because you are what you think. Let's stand and pray. Father God, I pray this morning that you would help us to take control of our thought life, that you would help us to look at our thought life through the lens of your word, that we might have control of it, and that we might purify it. Help us to think on the things that are true. Help us to think on the things that are lovely. Help us to think on the things that are honorable. Help us to think on the things that are of good report. Help us to think on things that are pure. Lord, help us to live our lives as your witnesses. And in doing so, we must feed on your word and dwell on it in our minds, that we might be children who you are blessing, children who you are using to reach those around us. And we'll just give you all the praise and glory for everything you do in our lives and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.